Today is October 7th, year 2007. It's the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, but we're celebrating today the feast day of the Holy Rosary to the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Mass for today is transferred and is celebrated on this upcoming Friday. So this is a great feast day that our Lord has given us, and one of the greatest gifts, the third greatest source of grace other than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the breviary. Outside, we're not talking, of course, baptism. That's the first thing you need to come in to the church and get the state of grace. But for a Catholic to maintain himself and to gain graces so that he can live a good life. The Holy Rosary is the third most powerful prayer. You have the Holy Mass first, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, when you have one and when you can get to one. And then you have the breviary, which is second. Those two are part of the liturgy. Those are liturgical prayers. Those are the highest forms of gaining grace. That's why that's the second thing we in line. Now we have no Mass because there are no Catholic priests. And you cannot go to Mass to a non-Catholic priest or you're in heresy. Or you're praying in communion with non-Catholics and you're receiving sacrilegiously. So today, the Holy Rosary is more important than it even ever has been, more so even today, because we really need to get these extra graces, which we're not going to get through the Mass. But God promises to give us those graces, and I recommend to people not just the Holy Rosary, but the Divine Office, too, above that even. So Divine Office and then the Holy Rosary, a great gift that God has given us. And that holy, this is the month of the feast day of October, the Holy Rosary. So every day you pray your rosary, you gain extra graces and indulgences. And the Blessed Mother has told us that you should try your best and really make it a habit to pray one rosary a day. And that means one set of mysteries a day, one third of the whole, either the sorrowful, and I think the way it usually works is you have the joyful on Monday, the sorrowful on Tuesday, the glorious on Wednesday. And then you recycle again on Thursday, the joyful, the sorrowful on Friday, the glorious on Saturday. And on Sundays of Pentecost and outside of the Advent and outside of Lent, you pray the glorious mystery on Sundays. Now you pray, you don't have to pray all the mysteries on one day. It's sufficient to pray what I just told you there, which will be five decades, you know, either the joyful, the glorious, or the sorrowful, every day. And make it a habit. Now, for some reason, something happens on a day where you really have a real true excuse that you couldn't pray it. God will understand that, but don't make that a habit. And also, pray if you're a family and you're living together as a family. The Blessed Mother tells you to pray the rosary together as a family. But when you have a family, a father, a mother, and children, and there's grandparents living in the house, same house and all that, you should try to pray the daily rosary together as a family at a standard time that everybody knows when you're going to pray it. Now, for some reason, a family's very busy and the husband's got to go out and he has to do certain things and he can't be around, you know, then they can't, obviously it's understood, you can't pray the family rosary. But whenever you could and whenever it is possible, you know, and you have a family living together, pray that family rosary together. Now, today also, they made this the feast day of the Holy Rosary because it represents a great victory over the Muslims. And God used the Muslims, by the way, as they say, to punish bad Catholics even, to keep them on their toes. You better be good. You better pray. You better obey my commandments, or I'm going to let those Muslim infidels run roughshod over you. I'm going to let them come in and tear you to pieces. So keep on obeying my commandments and keep praying the way you're supposed to pray and keep mortifying yourself. And keep obeying all the church laws, and I will protect you. If not, I will destroy you. Why are we in the great apostasy? Because almost down, every Catholic down to the last one lost the faith. Long ago. Very, very bad. If you had only 1% of true Catholics in the whole world, I'd be surprised at that. So now, this is just again a reminder to people the great importance of our Blessed Mother and devotion to the Blessed Mother. And you can't get to heaven without being devoted to the Blessed Mother. You can't get to Jesus unless you go through Mary. And that rules out all the Protestants who are so obstinately full of pride because they hate God's greatest masterpiece, the Blessed Mother. I'll give you a little piece of apologetical things you can use against Protestants. When you want to defend the Blessed Mother and the fact that she is the greatest creature that God ever has or ever will create, this is Mary's God's favorite, whether you like it or not. And no other person or no angel, no other creature can take that place of Mary. And unless you accept that, you're going to be damned to hell. Period. Now, the thing I say to Protestants to get them started on devotion to Mary, and I say this to them many times, and we all say this, we don't worship Mary as God. We know she's not God. We say to you Protestants out there 1,000 times, she's a creature. She was created by God. But she is the greatest creature God has ever created. The most pure. The most holy. She contains the most good things that any creature can ever contain. And I'm going to be writing about this more in the future. I have some very beautiful things to write about Mary and about this. And if you don't accept that, then you're no different than Lucifer, who wants to be the top dog. And when God told the angels in heaven that, guess what? As great as you angels are, there's going to be a person above you, a human and a woman, and her name is Mary, and she's going to be above all you angels and above everybody, and you're going to have to bow down to her, and you're going to have to honor her. And it was a test of their humility to show them, no matter how great you are, no matter how powerful you think you are, you still have to have humility, and everything that you got came from me, and you got to obey me, and I say Mary goes above you. He was testing their humility. And of course, we know Lucifer refused to do that. And as Luce was just saying the other day here, telling us, what did Gabriel do when he greeted her? Hail, full of grace. He honored her. He venerated her. He said hail to her. He did, see, that's, I say this many times. When apostate anti-pope John Paul II tried to change that greeting to rejoice Mary. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying rejoice Mary. But in this context of the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, when he came into Mary, he hailed Mary. He venerated her. He honored her. He was doing something to her. Rejoicing is telling Mary to do something to you. Rejoice, Mary. Well, that's fine, but it's not giving her honor. Gabriel honored Mary as God's greatest creature. Gabriel, the angel, did this. And when JP2 wanted to change that to rejoice, everybody said, well, that's not outwardly heretical. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with saying rejoice Mary, but there is something wrong when you replace it with Luke 1:28, when the angel came in and said hail to Mary, because he was honoring her. You're replacing an act of the angel in honoring, venerating Mary with an act she performs in rejoicing. It's implicitly heretical. That's what we call an ambiguous or implicitly heretical passage. It's heretical because of what they changed, what they left out. Now, that's what JP2 tried to do with rejoice, O Mary. Gabriel didn't say that. Gabriel hailed her and venerated Mary. Anyway, that's what Lucifer could not do. You read my book, Mary, God's Masterpiece, and Lucifer's Fall, I go into all of that. But the brief thing that you're going to want to do when you're talking to Protestants, and I'm talking to you now, Protestants that are listening to me, and I say this to many of them when I debate them and we talk to them, and then if they don't answer right on this, you don't have to, there's no purpose to get into the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption and the Ever-Virginity unless they answer this first question I'm now going to tell you correctly. If they don't answer this question correctly, do not go any further with them, because you're not going to get anywhere. You ask them this, you say, do you believe, at least, that the Blessed Virgin Mary is and was and is God's greatest masterpiece, his most special creature that he ever created? Ask them that. And if they tell you no, I says, you mean to tell me God, if they say no, you know, a lot of them will say this too, no, she's no different than any other woman. That's what they say. Believe that, believe it or not. Then you answer back to them and say, you mean to tell me that Jesus would have came into the womb of Jezebel? Oh, well, no, he wouldn't have come into the womb of Jezebel, you know, the harlot, you know. He wouldn't have done that. Okay, so then he made a choice. You admit that God made a choice. And if Jesus Christ is God himself, whom you admit, you Protestants admit he's God, how is it that God can come into the womb of any other creature other than the best, purest, holiest creature he could ever create and love the most? He not only came into her womb, he was not only born of her, he was raised by her, he subjected himself to her, he lived with her as his mother. How is it that God could have not chosen the best creature? Did he do that with any angel? Did he do that with any man? Did he do that with any other woman but Mary? Do you see how full of pride you are, you Protestants? If you can just admit logically, and I'll speak to pagans out there, I will tell you right now, even if a pagan who doesn't believe in Catholicism, here's what I'm saying. He'll say, well, no, I'm not a Catholic, and I don't believe in your dogmas. But I know what you teach about Mary. And if it's true what you teach about Jesus being God, I would have to agree she would have to be the greatest creature. Even a pagan could say that. Even if he doesn't believe in our religion, he could say that. He could say, well, look, if what you guys are teaching is true, that Jesus Christ is God, come down to earth in human flesh and a woman, Mary, I have to say logically that Mary has to be the greatest, most special creature ever. A pagan can even say that. Even if he doesn't believe in Catholicism, doesn't believe Jesus is God. Protestants are so full of pride when they rebel against the Catholic Church, they preach one stupidity after another out of pride. And they become, and they're just the stupidest liars that you can ever see. Now, you Protestants, that's what you are right now. Now, I'm not saying none of you can be of good will. You could be, some of you could be of good will. That's why I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you because no Catholics have been preaching to you for years now. Everybody tells you you're okay and you can be saved or you are. You can't. You've got to be Catholic to save your souls. You've got to be inside the true Catholic Church. And what I'm telling you right now, if any of you Protestants have listened to what I just said right now, come to the conclusion in your mind, and you say, yes, Mary, I agree, Richard, Mary is the greatest creature. She would have to be. That really does make sense. And I say this too because look at how much us human beings put stock in our own mothers who are sinful. We're fallen nature. We go, don't talk against my mother, I'll punch you in the face, you know. Now, you can talk against a guy's father a little bit. You're talking against his mother, you're going to get a sock in your nose. You know, you're going to get a punch in your nose. So, I mean, people are really concerned about their earthly mothers. You know, you better honor my mother. I mean, who would like, what son would let a person in their house if they come in and they just spit on his mother or just treat her disrespectfully? Or she's no different. She don't even honor her and respect her. People even have etiquette when they come to people's home and honor the mother of the home and the father. So you're not going to get into heaven without honoring Mary. And give her the. And when we talk about Mary, we say that she is honored above all the saints even. You know, we call that, she's the worship that's due to God is called latria. The honor that's due to the saints is called dulia. And Mary, we give her hyperdulia, which is above the saints but below God. She's not God, so don't be going out and misquoting what we say. And when we say Mary's the mother of God, we don't mean she came before God. No, she didn't. God is eternal. God is above Mary as far as the heavens are above the earth. No creature can come close to God. We're not saying that. But we are saying Mary is the greatest creature God ever created, and that because Jesus Christ came to the earth to become man through Mary, she truly is the mother of God. And that says everything I tell people about the nature of God. He wanted to have a mother who loves him and cares for him. That tells you about the true nature of God, how holy and loving and beneficent and wonderful and kind he is. It tells you everything about God, that he wanted to have this mother to return the love that he gave her to him. This says a lot about God. So, truly, she is the mother of God. Now, if Jesus did not become man and human, he has no mother. But as a human being, Jesus, taking on the flesh of Mary, he has a mother. And that's it. So when we say she's the mother of God, we're not saying she came before God. And we're not saying that she created God. She was the mother of Jesus Christ in the human flesh. Now, we have that in scriptures even. To indicate in Matthew 1:23, I think it is, where it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And what was another verse we were talking about the other day where you were saying it's related to Mary being God, Jesus being God? You were talking about it last night.
Yeah, Elizabeth said.
Yes. With Nicholas and Lewis, we were talking about this the other day, and brought up how when Elizabeth came, when Mary visited Elizabeth during the visitation, and Elizabeth said, "How whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me?" Luke 1:43. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth said, "Whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord, the mother of my God, the mother of God, the mother of my Lord, the mother of God?" It's right there, Protestants. Look at Luke 1:43. You know, and I'll tell you, your problem is not that you don't understand what we're saying; you don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it. And if you're a Protestant that supports second adulterous marriages or contraception or homosexuality or whatever your particular vice is, that's why you don't want to listen to the church. Because the Catholic Church told you to do something you didn't want to do, and you wanted to break one or more of God's commandments, and then you started to formulate heresies to say, hey, you know, I don't think the church got it right in the first place. Who is she to tell me what to do? And then you start trumping up heresies and sounding like idiots. Because really, everything you teach is so full of lies, your own Bible can even disprove every one of your heresies, your own Bible even there. And it's too late for you guys to go changing it around now, because you look stupid every time you try to change it. That's what every time you're trying to change it, you know, you come up with another verse that proves that you need to be saved by faith and works, like James. James says, faith without works is dead, so Luther threw that out. But that's not enough. That's not the only verse, Bible, epistle that teaches you need faith and deeds. It's throughout the scriptures. Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 9:27, St. Paul says, I chastise myself and bring my body into subjection, at least perhaps when I preach the gospel to others, I myself become a castaway. 1 Corinthians, so throughout Corinthians. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it in Matthew 7:21. He says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, he shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So Luther has to throw out the book of Matthew, the Gospels of Matthew. And our Lord says in Matthew 19:17, if thou enter into life, keep my commandments. Protestants say, I don't got to keep the commandments. All I got to do is believe in Jesus, I'm going to heaven. But throw out Matthew again. But it's throughout the scriptures. Romans 2:13, St. Paul says, not the hearers of the law shall be justified before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified before God. So then Luther's going to have to throw out the book of Romans too. You see what happens with these Protestants? Oh, we've been debating. When we discuss them, we say it many times. Their problem is not in their intellect. No, it's not. It's in their heart. They have a bad will. They have a bad will. They don't want to be Catholic because they don't want to obey one or more of God's commandments taught through his Catholic Church. That's what they don't want to do. They know what we're saying is true. And I'm speaking particularly here in devotion to Mary. And as we can get back and we can understand it, if you Protestants are of goodwill, now I'm trying to help you Protestants out there, that's why I'm talking to you like this, because I was bad like you too and worse probably, and I was as bad as any man can be, and God converted me, so even my words can convert you. Nobody's out there teaching you guys what you need to hear, and that's what I'm trying to tell you out here. Now if you can in your own mind sit down in your own heart, honestly answer the question I just asked you, admit to yourself that Mary is the most special creature that God ever created. I have to admit that, Richard, as common sense, she really is. Oh, she has to be, because God came to dwell with her in her womb. Then we can proceed to explain to them the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption. If you believe that that's true, then how is it that God will let his most special creature, and more importantly, in whom he's going to take on her flesh, ever be under the dominion of the devil? Or Lucifer would have some type of claim, passive claim even, over the human flesh of Jesus. Never. Never. And throughout the scriptures, we read in the Old Covenant, allusions to Mary being pure and clean and spotless. And as we talk about the Immaculate Conception, she did need the merits of Christ. She was redeemed, but by prevenient graces, he prevented her from ever falling into original sin. She never even fell into it. All the rest of human beings fall into it. We've got to be dragged out and cleaned up. His graces put a barrier there and prevented his redemption. The merits that she needed from Christ prevented her from falling into it, so she was redeemed. She did need the merits of Christ, but it happened by way of prevention. Prevented her from falling into original sin. To prepare her as a worthy dwelling vessel for the Lord God Most High, who is coming down to earth into her womb. It's throughout all the scriptures. I speak out and give you all the scriptures in my book. I just talked about Mary's God's masterpiece. And this way, Satan had no claim over Mary, passive over Jesus or Mary. Couldn't say that he owned her in any way. She had no concupiscence of the flesh. She had no original sin. She never had original sin nor concupiscence of the flesh. Mary is the only exception. We call that the miracle of the Immaculate Conception. And that miracle is the second greatest miracle of all kinds, second to the Incarnation. And without the Immaculate Conception, you have no incarnation.
Without Mary, there's no Jesus in human flesh to redeem men.
Sorry, pal, that's the way it is. Jesus says, for you to be redeemed, I got to come to earth as a human being and die. And for that to happen, I have need a mother, and I need her flesh, and that mother is Mary. And that's why Mary is called the mediatrix of all graces and the co-redemptrix. Because she is, without her, there is no redemption. Christ's death on the cross is what redeemed us, but without Mary, there is no redemption. So she assisted in that redemption by giving Jesus the flesh he needed to die on, and by suffering along with Jesus, and by raising Jesus. She is truly co-redemptress. And it doesn't mean that she redeemed us by her act. Christ redeemed us on the cross, but without her, there's no redemption. She assisted intimately in the redemption. And that's why she is co-redemptrix. And she is co-mediatrix. Jesus never said there's not going to be other mediators. He is the one mediator before the Father. You don't get to the Father without going to Jesus. The order is, you go through the church on earth. All prayers go through the Catholic Church on earth up to Mary, up to the saints, and from the saints to Mary, and from Mary to Jesus, and from Jesus to the Father. You cut Jesus out, you ain't getting to the Father. So it's in truth, Jesus is the one mediator before the Father. But there's other mediators before Jesus that you need to get to, or you ain't going to even get to Jesus. And Jesus says you're not going to get to him unless you come through Mary. Now, even these Protestants and people that don't know it yet, haven't converted yet, and we hope they are, goodwill people. That's how it happens, people. All the prayers and petitions go to the saints, and then to the angels, to the saints, and through Mary and to Jesus. So we're going to tell you, we're telling you right to the point, when you come into the Catholic Church, if you want to be Catholic, that's devotion to Mary. You see how very important that is. To her, all the graces that come from Jesus flow through her as a channel. Just like he came through her to the earth. He came through her womb. So this is the great importance of Mary. And she's the queen of heaven and earth, and angels and saints. She's going to be ruling with Jesus. She's a woman in the book of the Apocalypse in chapter 12. You're going to see her. All of us, I hope we're all here to be saving our souls and to see the second coming of Christ, which is going to happen soon. We're in the final days. I don't know, you might have 20 more years to this world or 30 max. But you're going to see maybe 40 max. But you're going to see Jesus coming the second time in the heavenly Jerusalem that St. John speaks of. And he's going to be there with his Blessed Mother. And she's going to be sitting on the throne along with Jesus. She's the queen. He's the king. She's the queen. And that's it. And you don't want to get, you're not, there's no way, I'm telling you, you Protestants now, to at least come to this conclusion of the importance of Mary and the necessity of Mary. Now, I'm not going to get into the idea, I will also warn people out there, don't listen to these so-called Catholics. We know they're apostates. They have false devotions to Mary. All these messages that are out there like Medjugorje and all these false apparitions. The devil is now appearing throughout the world as Mary to many people and deceiving them. There is a multitude of false apparitions of Mary. It's blasphemous. Because it was given the devil to blaspheme God, and Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. So he's appearing to people as Mary. But the reason we know that's not Mary, because that's a non-judgmental Mary. A Mary who doesn't denounce the sinners. A Mary who doesn't condemn sin. A Mary who doesn't say that you're going to go to hell if you don't stop doing this. A Mary that says if you don't become Catholic, you're going to go to hell. A Mary who says everyone goes to heaven, just hide under a mantle and you don't got to do nothing. A pacifist Mary. A Mary who teaches worse almost than a Lutheran thing. That you don't got to do nothing but sit back and pray the rosary and I'll do everything for you. As if you would invoke Mary to come down upon earth in her flesh again. She is in her flesh in heaven too. To come down to earth and start walking around this filthy earth. She's already done her time. It's our job as Catholics to be the heel of Mary and to do her work. But these false apparitions you see today, they're all centered around egotism, vanity and pride. Mary spoke to me, I got a glance at Mary. Or they're always being told how much, oh, God loves you, I love you, I love you. Everyone wants to be told how much God loves them and Mary loves them. That's not what's at issue here. What's at issue is here, do you love God? Do you love the true God? Do you love the true Mary? You can't love the true God if you're not obeying all of his commandments. You can't love the true God if you say Muslims can get to heaven. You can't love the true God if you allow people to blaspheme God, you don't do anything about it. Oh, but you want to be told how much you're loved and cuddled and hugged. But that ain't going to get you saved. You've got to love God back. And God abhors you. He wants to vomit all over you if you can see how angry he is at you right now. And he will send you to hell. Forever. And then once you go to hell, God no longer loves you anymore. No love in hell. Hell is the absolute absence of love. There's not an ounce of love in hell. Even though God loves all men, he abhors obstinate sinners, abhors them. This is what you never hear from these false messages. It's all false confidence. This stuff that apostate anti-pope John Paul II so wonderfully, his heresy, he seeded into people. I came to tell you, mankind, how good you are. Your dignity is so great. You're all so wonderful. Visits New York maybe a month after the homosexual parade and don't even say nothing about it. These freaks of nature are running around, exalting homosexuality, and you don't hear nothing from this bum. Instead, he comes over to New York and he says, oh, how great you all are. What a lying bastard this man was. Now, I'll tell you something. Even the pagan was a little bit of goodwill. Let's listen to what I'm saying right now. It says, that guy's out of his mind. He must be on another planet. He's not living on Earth. It's an evil place. Most people are evil. Anybody can see that. Unless you really have a lot of money and you padded yourself in a cell and you keep yourself from all this nonsense. But even them, they're not happy. Just look what they... You can't run from it. There's evil all around us. Now, I'm warning people, so I'm telling you Protestants too, we have a mushy Jesus and a mushy Mary running around, smiley faces and teddy bears that don't kill people. That don't get righteously angry at heresy and blasphemy and idolatry and sacrilege. That have no justice whatsoever. That let their kids run hog wild in the house and don't say anything. And don't you see parents doing that today? Their kids are bouncing off the walls, knocking stuff down in the house, bossing the parents around. not listening, tell them to shut up. Aren't they doing that? Is that what you see? It's chaos. That's not true joy. That's chaos. You can have no peace and stuff. And this is the kind of mirror you're presenting, these false apparitions. So I'm telling all you people out there, I don't know of any place where Mary's appearing in this world other than with us here in Mary's little remnant. And she is working with us in a most powerful way. And it's the true Mary. It's the Mary that purges with fire. It's the Mary that tries with fire. It's the Mary that makes us live the Catholic life, that makes sure we don't renege our obligations, and punches us when we're wrong, and stiffens us up and straightens us up and makes us firm and convicted in the faith. That's the true Mary, who disciplines her children when they're wrong, and keeps the house clean when there's somebody in there that's filthy, that's going to infect other people. Not the pacifist Mary, the mushy Mary that you read about and hear about, and these multitudes of lying apparitions that you're looking at today that are horribly, filthily... one day, if I have time, it's not even worth it to me, I don't think, but if I ever did, I can get into it. I'll just give you an example so I can Medjugorje, I think. One of the messages was, when Mary supposedly was speaking, when we know it was really Satan, she said, "Oh, my son is so sad because the churches and the mosques are empty." The mosques are empty? God wants people to go to the mosques? The Holy Trinity? The true God? The Catholic God whom the Muslims deny wants people to go to the mosque to deny him? Are you out of your mind? One message like that from any apparition is enough to knock it out of the ballpark. Remember what Moses said in Deuteronomy 13:1-3. "If there shall arise a prophet or a dreamer amongst you, and he foretell a sign, and that which he foretell come to pass, and he say to you, 'Let us go follow after strange gods,' you shall not follow that prophet or dreamer, for the Lord God trieth you, that it may appear whether you love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind or not." These false apparitions, the minute you hear somebody say that, Mary says, "Oh, God wants people to go to the mosque," that ain't Mary, pal. That's, I don't care if there's signs and wonders. I don't care if you get what appear to be real miracles. St. Paul says in Galatians 1:8, I don't care if an angel comes down from heaven in all his splendor and preaches another gospel. You better anathematize him, because he's a false angel. And you have another one in these Bayside movements, this Bayside apparitions. These people are big on that, these Baysiders, where so-called Blessed Mother comes in and says, "Oh, our Lord has many mansions in heaven." And these represent places for Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists and Jews. Are you kidding me? God's going to let people in heaven who deny him, who don't worship him, who don't adore him? Are you kidding me? She turned heaven into a home of idolatry, of paganism, of it's illogical even to presume that the one true God could allow these other false religions to be worshipped and adored in heaven. And this is what she said in the Bayside apparitions. And the people keep going back there and following this. You stupid, dumb idiots. And I will tell you, you get what you deserve. Because all these apparitions are based in carnality, lust and vanity. That I got a glimpse at Mary. I'm special. My rosary's turned gold. You know, how often do you hear that from these bums? I had this one lady, oh, it was so disgusting. You know, I was out there, because I know how these people were. And she said, she was running after these false apparitions in South America. And she's been trying to get a glimpse of Mary. If I can just get a glimpse of Mary. So she ran somewhere in South America to one of the, or Mexico, I forget where it was. And she says, "I got there." And she goes, "Mary was appearing to people." And she goes, "I looked up in the tree and I saw Mary's foot. She had like a blue slipper on it." And she goes like this, "Well, I guess a half a loaf is better than no loaf." That's what she said. That's blasphemy. I said, "You stupid idiot. You absolute full of vanity pride." She was all happy that she saw a foot of Mary. What would be the purpose of Mary showing her foot to somebody? It's gross anyway, you see? Now, this particular woman that said this was full of carnality. I tried to preach to her that you need to do mortifications. And she says, "No, I don't need to do that because I carry the statue around her and we have devotions in it. So I'm off the hook on that." And because she gives some other reason. I said, "Oh, you're off the hook on that because you're doing that?" Who could have been off the hook more from doing mortifications than Jesus Christ himself? Who could have been holier? God himself, who had no spot of sin or stain, he mortified himself. And you're telling me you can get away with that mortification because you're so good? Because you're going around and mortification is a part of the Catholic life that if you do not do it, you will go to hell. Prayer and mortification are the two pillars that enable you to study and learn the faith properly and save your soul and gain the graces. The three pillars really are prayer, mortification, and learning, studying. Those three. But you're getting an idea of the way these people are. Oh, but she wants to go around and get a look at Mary. But she don't want to whip herself. She doesn't want to fast. Or if you can't fast, take up some other mortification. Walk around barefoot. Stay in the cold for a while. Take a cold shower. I have a sermons on how you can mortify yourself. If you can't fast, then do some other types of mortifications. But you need to mortify yourself to save your soul. If you will not suffer for Christ, Jesus says in Luke 14:27, he will not take up his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. And Philippians 1:29, if Christ is given to you not just to believe in him, but to also suffer for him. You know, so all these little excuses, and you look at them, they're all full of lust. It's just all vanity. Look how special I'm. And I tell people here, you know, we're going to get signs and wonders. I'm not against true signs and wonders. But the signs and wonders were, you know what? You know why I thank God, though, why people, the sign and wonder seekers, they run from us real quick. At first they come here, I think, a lot of them, because they want to see some signs and wonders. When they realize what it takes to be Catholic, they're out of here as quick as they come in here. Because we teach them that not only do you got to believe all the dogmas, you got to live the Catholic life. You have to stop being a feminist if you're a feminist. You have to stop being a homosexual if you're a homosexual. You have to stop being an alcoholic if you're an alcoholic. You have to stop being a drug addict if you're a drug addict. You have to get out of that second so-called marriage if it's adultery. All these things we tell them. We tell them how you got to discipline your children. And all that stuff they hate. We could be doing the best miracles like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. And why did they not follow him? Because he also required them to do the commandments. Because we read in Luke 12:37, it says, whereas Jesus had done so many miracles before them, they believed not in him. And Moses, all the things Moses did. Because you've denied how great... All they want to run after that. He parted the Red Sea. He did all this. I want a part of that. But when the Ten Commandments came down, they didn't want a part of that. You see? Why do these people stay with these false apparitions? Because it promises them signs and wonders without obeying God's commandments. You're going to get the sign and wonder, and guess what? You ain't got to obey God's commandments. They think that's easy. You know, what an illusion this is to people. Don't you people realize when you don't obey God's commandment, you make your life miserable? You're miserable. You're unhappy. Jesus said, there shall be no peace for the wicked in Isaiah 57:21.
Yep.
There shall be no peace for the wicked. None. And Jesus says in Mark 11:32, my yoke is sweet, my burden is light to those who obey my commandments. So it's an illusion that you people, you don't want, so my point is, you want to come in here for miracles, fine, but if you're just looking for miracles and that's all you're looking for, you ain't going to last with us for more than 2 seconds. You're not going to want to be with us. But the kind of miracles we're going to get, too, is Moses-type miracles. Their heads are going to be busted together. There's going to be punishments coming down on these people. God is not just over there giving. It's like the guy who's just giving out gifts to his kid, never punches his kid when he does wrong. Or never disciplines his child when he does wrong. This is the kind of false Jesus in Mary we're talking about. When you get on the wrong side of Mary, pal, there ain't no hope for you. And don't do it, because she'll crush you in a split second. If you've exhausted her mercy, because God only has a certain limit. He'll be merciful to you, and Mary will be merciful to you, as long as there's hope for you. But there's a point in everybody's life when God knows, and so does Mary know, because she's close to God, when you're no longer helpable. You're beyond repair. It's called the sin against the Holy Ghost. And Mary will crush you. And in hell she will hate you. She will hate you like she hates Satan. And all the damned humans now in hell. All these priests out here, I'm thinking of all these traditionalists today who seem so pious, offering up their real body, blood, and divinity of Jesus Christ on the altar sacrilegiously, putting their filthy paws on our Lord, thinking they love Jesus. Oh, they all think they love Mary too. They really all think it. Wait till they see when they die and go to hell. And the wrath of Jesus and Mary upon them. That wrathful look of Mary. That's when there is no hope. When the mother gets angry at you, then you know you can't even go near the son. You're just gone, man. There is no hope. And that's where they... Following, as I said this a couple months ago, is in hell. And that's where he is right now. I've seen his face sadder than anything in the world. And he hates Jesus and he hates Mary. I'm telling you that. Here's a guy on earth that could sing, oh, I love Mary. How many people in Oversoro sounded so much that they have a true devotion and they have no devotion at all? St. Lucy de Montfort says there's 7 false devotions to Mary that you've got to learn about. And each one of these people seem to be very devoted to Mary and they're not at all. The way you can test them ultimately is if you're obeying all of God's commandments. That's Mary says, if you love me, obey God's commandments. If you love me, do the will of God. If you love me, obey the Catholic Church's dogmas. Every one of them. Faith and morals if you love me. And stop with this mushiness. This lovey love. They all want to be loved, loved, loved. It's a false love they talk about, folks. It's a carnal love. It's not a true spiritual love that comes from God. It's a carnal, selfish love. Listen to the way they pray. And I'll warn anybody out there the way they pray. You can get it on them. Like this one dope in Arizona. He says when he left for Medjugorje, he went out there, and Mary said, "Hey, I'm going to come home with you to Arizona." Okay, so then now he's got Mary talking to him in Arizona. And here he is. He prays like this. "When you pray to Mary, you have to pray to the Blessed Mother like this. Hail Mary, full of grace." It was so syrupy sickening, I wanted to smack him in the face. It's blasphemous. They pray like that. "Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee." Did you ever have anything that was overly sweet, like real sweet, so sweet it made you throw up? Mary hates that kind of stuff. She hates it. It's charismatic-y. Just look at the charismatics. They're full of the Spirit. That's why we pray like military soldiers, with a manly pace. And that means women too. We love God. Well, I shed tears for God in my private moments with God. But we're not this mushy, charismatic-y garbage. This is filth. This is effeminacy. It makes me, Mary wants to throw up on you and kick you in your face when you pray like that. It's arrogancy. It's vanity. It's lust. It's weakness. It's disgusting. And I tell you, we've had several people that we've known doing that, and where are they now? Uh-huh. They're not here with us no more. And not because... because they didn't amend their ways, you know. And we said, we get people coming in here, and for some reason, some of them want to start telling us what they're doing. I go, wait a second, you abjured, you studied the website, you know that we have the faith, and you're going to come in here and tell us what they do? Now, they even admitted to us when they came in, "Oh, well, Richard, I was just a Protestant, so I really don't know nothing about Catholicism, so I'm a babe at this. I need to learn." Well, then learn. But don't think you're going to come in here and tell us what to do, because what that really means, you're going to come in here and bring your Protestantism in here. You're going to bring your effeminacy in here. You're going to bring your feminism in here. You're going to bring your homosexuality in here. Ain't going to do that in here, pal. Ain't going to do that in here with us. As long as we stay faithful to God and we pray, this is a bastion of Catholicism, not Protestantism. You're not going to do it. Now, I know good will people want to listen. That's what they're going to hear. Even when I was a pagan, I was never like this type of mushiness that I was just talking to you about. I grew up in the inner city. We hated that kind of stuff. We'll punch your face out if you're like that. And rightly so. That's cowardliness. That's effeminacy. Sweetness. It's disgusting. It's against even the natural law upon the heart. But I'm also warning you about all these false Marys. They're blasphemous. They're blaspheming the true Mary. Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. To me, this is the worst thing of all. They're blaspheming our Blessed Mother. And they're blaspheming her in art and on TV and in books. And I will tell all our brothers here, who are we to complain when they detract us and calumniate us? We need a share of our own persecution. Who are we to complain? Look what they're saying to Jesus. Look what they're saying to Mary. What do I care what they say about me? Jesus said, if the world hateth you, know that it hated me first. For if you've been to the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, and I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John 15:18, in that area right there. All right. We'll end the sermon for here, and Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, pray for us, and we pray especially for all you Protestants out there and anybody else out there to convert into the one true church, the Catholic Church, and please listen to what I'm telling you, all right? If it's never been told to you before, well, now I'm telling it to you. Get your heads on straight, and get your heart right. And listen to what I'm telling you, okay? Because God did say there's going to be conversion. That's why I'm telling you these things. I ain't going to let you off the hook, though, where you are. I'm telling you right now, your pastors and your religions are phony baloney. They're false, they're disgusting, they're abominable. And you even know it. There cannot be 27,000 different churches. Just drive around any city, and on every street corner, it says, the Church of God, the real Church of Jesus. No, I'm the real Church of Jesus. It's like that show they had, will the real Jesus please stand up? No, I'm Jesus. No, I'm Jesus. No, Jesus is over here. This is what Protestantism is all about. Jesus is only in one place. It's the true Catholic Church. He's the Catholic God. And it's not the Vatican II Church, because they're no longer Catholic, and Rome lost the faith. They're no longer Catholic. Just come over to my website to learn the faith. That's the only place you're going to learn it. It's the only place where it's being taught that I know of. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 8791-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.